for all who have called on the name of Jesus the Christ for salvation. You, my family, are not in darkness. You, dear friends, have become a member of the kingdom of God. Where there is no darkness or no shadow of turning, there is only light. As a family member, our Father, our King, our God, remains on the throne. He, over time, has overseen the written recording of His spoken word. Monday evening, God reminded me that He does nothing without revealing to His people what He is about to accomplish in the earth. Genesis sets the very pattern of His warnings to mankind, His creation, his children. Adam is warned. Adam sinned and brought all of mankind since under this judgment. Adam is told of a coming Savior. So I want you to understand that God gives the warning. He allows man the opportunity to hear or to reject. And Adam, when God called him, he did respond. And then he is told the prophecy of the coming Savior of the world, and also the defeat of the enemy of all mankind. This warning that came to Adam affected the entire world. From generation to generation to generation, it has affected us. It will affect our children, our grandchildren, to 1,000 generations if the Lord waits, if it is not His timing. But every generation will be affected because Adam did not listen. So starting with Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, etc., all through generations, because the warning was, if you eat of this tree, of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. And it did not just mean a literal death of the body, but it meant a death and a separation, disobedience. For those of us who have heard the gospel message and believed, we are able to read Scripture with eyes of the Spirit, far-reaching, and have understanding of the great depths of fallen mankind, ourselves, and the price that was paid for our sin and for the sin of every person who will call on His name. We understand and we say amen to all of God's word, to our holy God and His judgment on sin. What we all need to remind ourselves of is that He has forewarned His people. He has forewarned His church and the world. The disciples, as they were walking with Jesus, they said, "What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" Now, I would encourage you, say, go and read Matthew 24. Maybe these past few weeks you have read it over and over, but read it again. Read Luke 17 again. This is Jesus' response. It is a clear warning and signs of what this world would be like. Jesus, as He was with His disciples, He's able to see forward. He knows. He was describing for them something that they had heard about for centuries and was also a part of their family history. Listen, Noah is a part of our family history, as we are not Jews, but we come through the line of Japheth or through the line of Ham. But Noah was forewarned. The world, I'm sorry, just give me a minute. Noah warned the world at his time. He is called a preacher of righteousness. Time was given for a response to the warning of the coming judgment, the coming wrath of God upon the world at that time, in the time that Noah lived. And we know that this happened, it literally happened, and we know that Paul said that this is recorded for us so that we would understand. It was a worldwide flood. It came to wash away the filth. It was an all-consuming flood. There was destruction upon the planet, upon mankind. And then we see the beginning with a new earth and eight people. All of that right there is a picture for you when you sit down to read the book of Revelation. You should not be reading with fear, but you should be reading as Noah was in his day, understanding that God was warning. And for everyone who would respond, listen, he built an ark that was large enough that could have contained those who would respond. And what Christ has offered us today, everyone who will come, there is room. Noah knew this was by God's hand. When he stepped off of that ark after the flood, after the drying of the earth, after he received that twig from a dove, he knew then. He knew it was from God. It was not a natural happenstance. It was not something that has ever happened again. This happened one time. There have been local floods, but this was a one-time thing. And Noah knew it was God. God had warned him. He was able to enter into that ark and be at peace because he knew God had given mankind a very, very long time to respond. And they chose not to. Jesus also said it would be as in the days of Lot's days. We know that God sent angels to warn Lot. He had heard the reports. Nothing is hidden from God, and it's not that he could not see, but he's always speaking to us in terms that we can understand. He has eyes to see, he has ears to hear, he has a mouth to speak, he has hands to react, he has feet to go where he wants to. But he sent these angels to warn Lot because of Abraham's intercession. God spoke to Abraham, told him what he was about to do. And in response to Abraham's prayer with God, if there are 50, if there are 45, if there are 10, God said, for 10 men I will spare. Everyone would have been spared had there been 10. And so the angels warned Lot, and Lot at the last minute tried to warn people. He tried to warn them. He tried to warn his family. He went to his family, and his own family, he was a joke. He was a joke. He was not to be taken seriously. But God gave Lot and his family time to flee, even though he had to take their hand and bring them out. We know that that was a local happening. There was the raining down of fire and brimstone. There was a destruction, an all-consuming God's wrath. He poured out his wrath on those cities, Sodom and Gomorrah and those cities around there. Nothing destroyed was ever renewed. And Lot knew this was by God's hand, and so did Abraham. But Lot knew it was from God. There's warning of God's judgment coming to all who will heed and listen. I'm not telling you to look at everything to react in fear. I'm telling you to look with the eyes of a born-again Christian, one who reads the scripture, one who is in communion with God, who has heard the voice of God, who can look at scripture and find comfort and peace for yourself, for your family, and for those you have influence with. Listen now and turn to him, because the warning says, you know, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, I'm only going to read just the first sentence of it, but it says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Paul was writing this letter to Timothy as Timothy is pastoring, and he's telling him the things that are going to come. This is at the beginning of the church. You would think, with Jesus having been there, having lived, having died, been resurrected, so many witnesses to the miracle of his resurrection, so many who had heard him, thousands upon thousands who had heard him, and all the healings and raising of the dead and all of the deliverance, that there would have just been such a following. But no, and even in the growing of the church, within 30 years from the beginning, and within 30 years, there were already false teachers. And Paul was saying the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, when they don't want to hear. They do not want to hear that God is going to pour out his wrath. And these are birth pangs that are upon the earth. For over 2,000 years, God has called pastors and teachers and evangelists and the born-again Christian to proclaim, to shout, to tell every person they can that the wrath of God is coming at God's appointed time. Look, the birth pangs, look. These are the signs. The disciples said, Jesus, what will be the sign? And he said, this will be the sign. Read Matthew 24. Go through it line by line. And it will tell you exactly. Listen, he told them, he said, this is coming. We need to be able to say that. But then we need to say that we know exactly how they may escape the wrath of God. See, you have the escape plan. So you can say, I will tell you the road to enter. You're going to tell them what road to get on. Because when we want to go somewhere, we get our phones and in our car. We put in the direction and it will take us the straightest, shortest, fastest way. Well, there is a road that you can get on, that you can direct people to, and that will lead them straight to safety, because the wrath of God is coming. He's been storing it up, and when he releases it, he's not going to hold back. It is a narrow one-way road, and there is only one way to enter that road. And I'm going to tell you, so that you can relate this, to look for the signpost. The signpost says that I am a sinner. All sinners, those who are sinners. If you're not a sinner, you don't need to be on this road. And so I don't think that you're going to find anyone who is not a sinner because of the sin that Adam committed. And Adam has produced in his lineage through all mankind sinners. And so the signpost says, I am a sinner. I need the reconciliation and forgiveness for my sins that is offered to me through Jesus. The only road and way to go, it is narrow. We are to tell them that to be on this road, you have to believe and confess that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. You cannot go down this road any other way. You will not escape the coming wrath if you are not on this road that says, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he died. I believe that he lived a perfect life as a man, obeying the law of God. And in so doing, he took my place as the sinless one. The sinless one became sin for me. He took my sins and he gave up his life and he died in my stead. He received upon himself all the wrath of God. See, all the wrath that is to come is not for those who are on the road, those who believe. It is not for those who have said, I am a sinner. God, forgive me for my sins. I believe that you gave me a way of escape, and that way of escape is your Son. And I believe that you have accepted his blood. I believe that you poured out your wrath on him, that I don't have to suffer your wrath. I'm on the right road. And if you want to help someone to escape the coming wrath of God, You're going to tell them about this road that they can get on. God, as he hung upon the cross, he died. Listen, he came in the form of man so that no one could say that he does not understand. He understands, but he did not commit sin. He obeyed the law of God perfectly, and he died. He was buried, and he rose again because, unlike me, death has no hold on him. Death has no accusation against him. He is sinless. And he ascended to the throne room and is now seated on the very throne in heaven. And thus I am redeemed because his blood satisfied the debt that I owed, the wrath that was due me. Jesus paid it in full. Acts 4:12 says that, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." You will not be saved in any other name. This road to safety, this road that will take you to the place of safety, that you will not be under the wrath of God. This one will lead you out of the wrath of God, is a narrow road. And you can only be on this road in the name of Jesus. Because if you try to get on the road that says Muhammad, if you try to get on the road that says Joseph Smith, if you try to get on the road with a Hindu God, if you try to get on the road of your own self-worth, if you try to get on the road with Mother Nature, if you try to get on the road with science, if you try to get on the road with just being a human, you are on the wrong road. And Acts 4:12 tells us that there is no salvation in any other name. Narrow, narrow, narrow is the road. But this road will lead you to the throne of heaven. The throne of heaven, the gates will be open to you. They will not be closed to you. Now, as I started this message, so I will end. Jesus recorded his warning of his return and the destruction that is coming. His wrath will be unleashed when he steps down to take the scroll. Remember, there is a scroll. It has seven seals. And when he takes that scroll and he begins to pop those seals, his wrath will follow in great succession as he opens. He releases one seal, the second seal, the third seal. And all of that will be his wrath being poured out on mankind, those who reject him. But today, I am telling you that you already have the signs. The signs are here. Listen, it's easy when you're in the midst of something to look out there and say, oh, well, this means this and this means that and this means this. But I'm telling you to look at the world as a whole. Listen to the voice of the people and what they are saying. They are not crying out to heaven. They are not crying out to God. They are not repenting. They are looking to blame so-and-so or anyone they can blame. They are saying, we as man, we can do this. Our country is stronger than this. Our family is stronger than this. As people, we will do all of these good things. None of that will save anyone from the coming wrath of God. If you want to help people today, show them. Show them the road that they need to be on to avoid the coming wrath of God. The signs are in the earth. The sign was in the earth from the time Adam ate that fruit that was given to him in disobedience to God. And man was born then in the likeness of Adam. And depravity has set in and set in and set in. You will not usher in the kingdom of God. Jesus will come He said, my coming again is not in a stable. I will not be riding a donkey, but I'm going to be riding a white horse. And he says, the signs are here. I want you to be sober, church. Be sober-minded. Do not be fearful, because fear is coming straight from the pits of hell. It is a demonic spirit to cause you to be fearful. I'm not saying you can't look at these signs and say, Lord, it's not something that I want to be a part of. I don't want to suffer. God knows our flesh does not want to suffer. Our flesh does not want to see the ones that we love suffer. But God gives you hope. He gives you hope, and he gives you courage, and he gives you boldness for the times that you live in, so that you can look, you can see, you can know, and you can warn. You have a voice in this earth. Every Christian, God's given you a voice in this earth. I'm not being a false prophet. I am not being a prophet at all. I am telling you what I see, what God's word says. And you, as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, you can see and know the same things. He's not revealing something to me to hide from you. That's not who he is. Those who were born again are his children. And he desires that you be able to see, or he would not have recorded it for you to be able to see. You already have the signs. Look at the signs and read them. What will be the sign of your return? He said, as in the days of Noah and as in the days of Lot. Keep that in mind as we go through these days. I want to close today, even with this, with prayer. I want us to be able to pray for our nation, that you would join me, and that you would pray for our nation. Pray for our nation right now. We need to pray for our leaders. Let's bow our heads and let's go before the throne of heaven. Almighty God, we come today. We thank you, God, for saving us. We thank you for the blood of the Lamb of God who was slain for us. We thank you that you have accepted that and that you have washed us. Not only have you washed us, but you have not saved us for the day of wrath, for we are exempt from that. We give you great praise and great glory and great honor. It is all due you, Almighty God. Now, for such a time as this, we are here in this earth today. We are where we are planted, God, by your very will and by your very purpose. And you tell us at this time that we need to be praying for our leaders. We lift up our president and we ask you, God, for him and all of those who are working in his administration. We are asking you, God, that you would speak from heaven. That you would speak to them, you would draw them to their knees in a place of repentance before your throne, God, that they would repent before you for this nation, for the sins of this nation, for the sins of murdering so many innocent babies, for the sin of sexual and perverted sins, for the sin of calling things good that you have called an abomination. For, Lord, for greed, for whatever we have done, Lord, you know all the multitude of sins, God. But we come and we ask you, God, that you would reveal that, especially to our president, Lord. And that you would cause him to come before your throne. We are asking you to surround him with those, Lord, who understand the times, Lord. That, Lord, that he could be as a Daniel was, he could be as Joseph was. And, Lord, that you would use these men who love you, Lord, all you could use them with our president to speak to him, and that he would submit to what your word says. God, we come and we ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would drive this virus from our shores. Take it away from our land, Almighty God. We ask that you would drive it from our borders, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We ask you, God, for healing for our nation. We ask you, Almighty God, that you would restore jobs that have been lost, Lord. We ask that you would restore livelihoods that have been lost, Almighty God. Where the enemy would use this to grab hold to this nation, God, that you, Lord, allowed the pilgrims to come to set up to be a beacon, to be a light unto your name, Almighty God. That you, Lord, would give us grace and mercy Just extend your grace and mercy, Lord. We are asking, Lord, for an extension, God. We know that this nation is not exempt, but we are asking you, God, that you would relent on the wrath that is due us now. But you would hold that back, Lord. And we are asking, Lord, for some more time. We are asking, God, as the church, that we, Lord, would not waste this time that has been given us. But God, we would stand more boldly with the fire of God burning within us to declare the way, to declare what you have said is coming, and not shrink back from all those who would call us names, who would turn against us, who would be gnashing their teeth at us. But God, we would stand firm in you. Put your hand to our back. Keep us, Lord. Watch over the people of God. And we give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.